And it is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. I love the intro music. You got my producer back there, David.
Sure do.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, first off, shout out to you for breaking the Jeffrey Simmons news a week ago. Congrats on that. And what did you make of the deal for Jeffrey Simmons from his point of view and from the Titans' point of view as well?
Yeah, I think it's a great deal for both parties. You look, the Titans were able to keep it under $100 million, and they were able to get a little more wiggle room salary cap-wise by getting that number a little more manageable at 10.7. So I think when you look at for Simmons' camp, it's a good deal just from the perspective of that high guaranteed money. One of the things, you know, his agent, Paul DeRussell, was focused on making sure that, you know, over the next few years, you know, everything is covered. And, I mean, you look, if Jeff doesn't play football anymore, you know, by the time the contract's done, he will have made $76 million. That is, as he said, generational money. And then the fact that over 70% of it was guaranteed, it's just a great situation for both parties. I definitely would commend, you know, Rand Carthon and the Titans, along with Paul DeRussell and Simmons' camp. They did an excellent job.
Do you feel like, TD, basically just getting this in before Quinnen Williams in particular gets his deal done also is a money saver for the Titans?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think you also tack in Dexter Lawrence as well, you know, with the Giants. It's just like any other position, you know, with contracts. One sets the floor for the other. So now the Jets, Giants, they're on the hook. They have to beat Simmons' deal. And that's kind of how it works. So, yeah, it was good for the Titans to get out in front of it for sure.
TD, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba, there's a lot of, I guess, differing opinions on him in terms of where exactly he should go in the first round. And we've talked to you about him before. Is he clearly number one to you in terms of the receivers available in this draft, or would you go somewhere else with that distinction?
Yeah, I think he's clearly number one. Now, my favorite receiver in this draft is Zay Flowers, but you look at Smith and Jigba, the body control, the route running, the consistent hands, the yards after catch, all of that factors into him being a guy. He could play the slot, he could play outside. I think it's pretty clear that he's the best. You know, and anytime you have Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and their receiver coach, you know, saying that he's the best out of the three Ohio State guys, that says a lot.
So that said, is he the best enough to warrant taking him at 11?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that really depends on what's on the board. Good testament for what the Titans have been able to do just as far as set themselves up to where they could go multiple positions at 11. They don't feel like they have to go for a tackle. So he's one of the ones that should definitely, because he's the best at a position of need, so they should absolutely, you know, consider him at 11.
TD, how do you feel about the Titans right now as presently constructed at edge rusher? Obviously, we know Dupree is gone. They bring in Arden Key. You've got Harold Landry, who the last time we saw him play was incredibly productive, but he is coming off the torn ACL. Rashad Weaver is in the mix, too. What do you make of how the Titans are stacked up right now at edge rusher, and I guess how much of a priority would that be if you were in charge of the draft for the Titans and maybe find somebody else in that position group as well?
Yeah, it's solid but unproven. I think, you know, you factor in Arden Key as well. That signing, he's with the money that he's gotten, it would be reasonable to expect him to be a three-down player. So you put him in there. I think they're solid. You have to also look at the fact that you could bump Danico Autry outside, but I would by all means be looking. You know, you got Keon White, you got Tyree Wilson. You know, those are guys that could possibly fall to 11, and they're solid players. But then you look a little bit later, you know, you got a guy like Derek Hall out of Auburn. You got Will McDonald, the fourth. I know they have interest in both of them. So I would definitely look at some of the top guys and just the whole position, because you could always you can never have enough pass rushers. That's the way I look at it. They could use more because it's relatively unproven. Just as you mentioned, Landry coming back from injury, Weaver is still ascending. So that's kind of what you're looking at.
TD, I feel like for the most part, we talk about quarterbacks, the quarterbacks in the draft, in this draft, more than anything on a weekly basis mm-hmm. now, which speaks to, you know, the fact that it is possible, right, that the Titans are doing their homework and they're not just doing it to do it. Like, it's possible that they come away from this thing with a quarterback. And you've got S2 scores coming out. You hear about this interview or that interview. We all know about the workouts and everything. During this process, have you – I guess, has your mindset on any or more than one of them changed significantly based on the information that's come out?
No, not really. I've remained steadfast that C.J. Stroud, in my opinion, is the best in this class. I love the playmaking ability that Bryce Young has and just the calmness under pressure. He's always cool. So that's something that you look at, you know, the wild cards with Hendon Hooker and the injury situation. A little back and forth just as far as, like, where you should select him. But he's clearly one of the top options. And Anthony Richardson has just continued to have that potential that you have with him. Is just, that's what's so tempting. That's what makes you want to bring him in as your guy. But, you know, high risk, high reward, that's the thing you have to look at there. And then Will Levis, he's probably the fifth, in my opinion, out of that group. And I've remained the same with him. Is you just got to figure out, okay, are you getting the 2021 version or the 2022? And that's, you know, you got to get inside, you know, why there was a difference there.
TD, when you look at Jalin Hyatt, we all see the speed that he had at Tennessee. Obviously, he wins the Biletnikoff and had a great year last year. But there's the concern about the press coverage part of it. Can he get off of it at the NFL level? All those things. When you watch Jalin Hyatt, what do you see? And I guess how concerned are you about some of the press coverage things that people bring up with him as well?
Yeah, what I see with him is what I call easy gas, man. That guy, he accelerates really well, hits that top speed. And he's someone that I think, you know, you just got to move him around the formation and find ways to, you know, get him those free releases. That's the main thing. You're right about the press coverage. You have to wonder how he's going to be against that. You know, because there's some dogs in the league, man, whether it's, you know, Tre'Davious White, J.R. Alexander. You know, we can go on and on with corners that are really good. A.J. Terrell, I mean, there's a lot. So you want to see how he would be able to do against some of those top-tier guys. But the fact of the matter is that dude will take off for you, and he will make the deep catches. But you look at some of these games, you know, he could run that slant too and catch that. So there's a lot that you could do with him, but I just think you have to really scheme him up to, you know, make sure that he's able to showcase what he has. Just, and when I say that, like I said, it goes back to center him in motion, you know, having him, you know, line up off the ball, those type of things.
No, that's a good point. I mean, he had, you know, those big plays and things like that. But he also, yeah, he ran that slant the goal line and took the hit from the safety and held on too. Things
exactly.
Like that, right? Yeah. No, he's, I think, a little more well-rounded than some people think. Do you feel like at that position, like, how important, because Vrabel has talked about speed, we all know that this team, you know, needs that badly, needs, like, more speed. But also, like, I love a guy like Cedric Tillman. I know that he doesn't exactly fit the speed mold, but he does, I think, fit what they've done at outside receiver. Like, how important do you think it is that just that aspect of it, just that – someone who can just take the top off of defense is for the Titans to come away of this draft with?
Yeah, I think it's critical for them. And the thing is, you know, you look at these guys that have speed, but I tell you, it's just you have to be able to utilize that speed quickly. And when I say that, what I mean is be able to come in, get comfortable, get settled in so you could play fast, play to that speed. Because a lot of times you'll see these speed guys come to the league and you're like, yo, what happened? And it's because their head is spinning, you know, having to convert a route against this coverage and so on and so forth. So they're thinking so much so they can't play fast. So I think, you know, along with the physical speed, you got to have that mental processing ability. And that's something that, You know, you look at a guy like a Tyler Scott, you know, who did a lot there at Cincinnati, ran an assortment of routes. You know, he's someone that I think could come in and have an instant impact. And that's the main thing. I believe this year they're going to look at more than just, you know, the size of the receiver, because they're placing a premium on how fast they could be.
TD, last thing for you here. What did you make of the Odell Beckham Jr. deal to the Ravens? 1 year, $15 million, up to $18 million in the contract as well. What do you make of that deal and the fit in Baltimore?
Yeah, my first thing was wow when I saw the numbers. they signed Nelson Aguilar as well. I think, you know, they're making a dedication to getting that receiving core better. I hope it is, but my thing is, will Lamar be there? And that's the main part of it. I love the fact that they have a new offensive coordinator, you know, and Todd Monken coming in there, so they could get rid of some of those, you know, very elementary passing concepts they had before with Greg Roman. So I'm hoping to see things take off, man. That's really what I make of it. And it's going to be interesting watching that happen. I just, you know, want to see how Odell Beckham Jr. Reacts to, you know, being in a what is traditionally a run-heavy team. So we'll see what happens there.
Daron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
For sure. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Daron Davenport, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the draft. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.